You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
I never meant cares about you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Get to people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everybody are well today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. It's Mother's Day weekend, so we're going to have a good weekend. I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to be done, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love and respect you. So keep getting it done. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. On the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Making it even easier, just go to babaoshi.net, 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 and there will be programs that are previously recorded and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. On Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. Time for an Awakening on Fridays from 8 p.m. until with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. I heard a commercial on Black Information Radio this morning for WeBuyBlack.com. They're asking for donations. They've already raised over $400,000, but they need $1.3 million to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. It should have been done. They've been asking for this now for some years. Years. I've been saying this for years. Man. Okay. Okay, Oshie. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. He's ready to take another group. He's taking a group May 24th, the 24th of this month. He's taking a group to Ghana, May 24th to June 5th. And then in November, which I really want to go, November 18th through the 29th to Tanzania. Some pronounce it Tanzania. Tanzania. November 18th through the 29th. And then, once again, in December, December 24th to January 5th, 2022, going to Ghana. And then in April, April 1st through April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. All of these trips are $3,700. All of it, all inclusive, $3,700. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Baba Rinoco, he has a, his program is coming up this evening. This evening, he has a program coming up this evening, and that is The Great Mother. The Great Mother, Black Women in Our History. This is a Mother's Day program. This is tonight at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10. You can get this on Eventbrite. So contact, probably go to Eventbrite and contact Dr. Rinoco. And you can take advantage of this program. It's for 8 p.m. this evening, The Great Mother. He is going to Ghana with Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. That is going to be July 18th to August 3rd, going to Ghana. And then in proportion with that trip leaving Ghana, he's going to Kemet. July 31st to August 13th, he'll be in Kemet. So we look forward to Baba Rinoco and what he, in fact, I'm going to try to get him on this program real soon. Yeah. Oh, sorry about this. Okay. And, okay. Baba Rinoco. Rashidi. Give Baba Rinoco Rashidi a call at 323-803-8663. 323-803-8663. Also on Hotmail, Rinoco. At hotmail.com. Rinoco@hotmail.com. Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Habashahincorporated.org. These brothers and sisters are doing the work. They deserve to be supported. They're doing the work here in the Atlanta area with their Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. They're doing the work on the continent with the Kashi Project. When you go to their website, habashahincorporated.org, you will see the great work that they're doing, the pictures of the Kashi Project that's going on in Ghana, you know, and you also will check out, they have a repatriation study piece that they're promoting. So learning how, you learn how to go back home, which of course, you know, that's what we need to do. Habashahincorporated.org. The LEDGE Program, Land for the Environmental Development of the Group Economics. The LEDGE Program, brothers and sisters, they are doing it. And they have a raffle, a Tanzanian safari, a raffle worth $15,000. Go to theledgegroup.com. Check it out. Find out how you can become be involved in a raffle, an opportunity to get a safari in Tanzania, all expenses paid. Of course, the LEDGE Group works in the four areas of people, activity, of food, water, clothing, and shelter, all necessities, all vitally important to deal with. And they have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. And you need to become a member of theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Abibitumi.com. Bibitumi.com. They're at a program tonight. And that is Beyond Decolonizing Science, Resurrecting an African Science. And that is, actually it's 1 o'clock today because it's 4 o'clock in Ghana because Bibi Atumi is coming out of Ghana. You know, Baba Kambon, his son. Okay. Then tomorrow, the Saturday seminar, 400 years enduring historical misorientation. And that's happening tomorrow. And then there's one on Sunday, a repatriation initiative that they have going on. So they have a lot of good programs on Bibi Atunmi. Go to bibiatunmi.com. bibiatunmi.com. Become a member. All kind of good stuff. You can shop. There are all kinds of things. All about us. And there are other avenues too. Bibi Atunmi TV. All kind of radio. All of it right there. All right. And where are we going to go now, Brother Oshi? I know where we're going to go. That's right. We're going to go to Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on Ralph David Abernathy in the West End here in Atlanta, right across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and of course the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End, are open on Fridays and Saturdays. Fridays from 1 to 7 and Saturday from 1 to 7. And Wadada's have delicious smoothies and health drinks. And on the weekend, they have vegan food. You can get a nice plate of vegan food. So check out Wadada's. Okay. The Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a new location. Check her out in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call if you're looking for books. If she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get them for you. Okay. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Baba Gazimdi Ajamu, located in Lithonia, that is east here of Atlanta, at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. He also has a coffee bar. He's done great work with the space that he has at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. You need to check it out. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast. Every Thursday night. They were on last night at blogtalkradio.com. You will go to blogtalkradio.com. /ULU, and you can listen online. The name of the program is called Dare to Win. But if you want to call in, you can call in to listen, or you can call in to give a question, comment, or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And that's from 9 to 10 every Thursday night. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give Sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scent, your one-shop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti. Look at the great work that they're doing, the beautiful children and their clothing and all kind of stuff, man. I tell you, it's beautiful. And I'm going to tell you all kind of good stuff around here. Okay. Akaben House. Akaben Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yabaruti. You know how much I feel about them and the work that they do, you know. And so we're going to talk about that. Also, too, Abakasin Sumsum, which is African spiritual warfare. African spiritual warfare, African ancestral war plan. It will be Sunday, May 16th. This Sunday is the night. The following Sunday, May 16th, 12:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be physically, it's going to be live. It's going to be at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, where it's been since I've known where it's been, you know. And Mama, remember, Ani, this is the 18th annual Abakasin Tsum Tsum, Race First, an African Ancestral War Plan. So we're going to check that out. I'll be talking more about that next week. Of course, Akabin Institute is the educational institute that with Mama and Baruti and Brother Baba Baruti. And of course, you can make a donation. You can use PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, it's the $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make an ongoing contribution to what we're trying to do with all our children, educate them, prepare them to be warriors, not to prepare them to get a job, prepare them so we can get ourselves up out of this madness as a people. His books you can order from akabinhouse.com, akabinhouse.com. He has a program tomorrow. This is the Men's Quarterly. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at at 12 noon tomorrow. What you need to do is make your donation on PayPal or Cash App. On PayPal or Cash App, make your donation of $10, $5 for Warriors in Training. Include the pertinent information, which is the Men's Quarterly, your name, and your email address so they can send you the link. So, okay, I will surely do that. Mama Nabantu, I surely will. And then also, too, we have Sister Ya. Her program is tomorrow at 4. Baba Baruti's program is 12 to 2. Her program is 4 to 6. Sister Circle, the healing continues. And, of course, put in the pertinent information. Go to PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, it's $YAMBaruti. If you use PayPal, it's YaBaruti at Yahoo.com. Sister Quarterly, your name and your email address so you can send you the link. All right. And then the Complementarity Conference is coming up June 5th, Saturday, June 5th, from 4 to 8 p.m. $10 per person, $10 per adult, $5 a teen. The Complementarity Conference, the 7th annual Complementarity Conference. And we want to definitely promote that because we need compliments. Okay. So I'll get back to Baba Baruti. And let me see if I can find that. Mama. Okay. I'm going to find that for us right quick. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Pan-African Federalist Movement. They have a program coming up on the 25th, African Liberation Day, and you know I'm going to be pumping up African Liberation Day because that is a day that all of us should observe. We all should observe African Liberation Day. I bring the particulars to you of African Liberation Day. That is, here we go. I apologize, Mama Nabantu, because I should have had that up. You know what I'm saying? Yes, right. I should have had it up. What's in a name? A virtual town hall about forging a common African identity. What's in a name? African Liberation Day, May 25th, African Liberation Day, at 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The chapters in Atlanta, D.C., and Florida will come together. It is a Zoom link.
I'll be getting that information out. It's hosted by the North American Pan-African Federalist Movement. What's in the name? I'm going to be on the program because, you know, I've always talked about how important it is, how important words are, and words have meaning. So what's in a name? That's why we should not call ourselves a lot of stuff that we do. So I want to check that out, and I'll be announcing that. What's in a name? Yeah. Let me go to the Enye Sesem, but before I do, Willie Mays. Willie Mays is 90 years old, y'all. The Say Hey Kid. Right on. Somebody said Hank Aaron could have got a few more years out if he hadn't got a COVID shot. I ain't saying it one way or another, you know. But he was promoting, well, like a lot of American Africans here in the Atlanta area, promoting to get the shot, you know. Wow. May 6th. Swear then to live free and independent and to prefer death to anything that would lead to replacement, to replace you under the yoke. Swear then to pursue for everlasting the traitors and enemies of your independence. Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Warriors have two choices. They can act, i.e. study, the enemy while working to secure our spaces from their intrusion so that we can effectively remove our traitors and solve our problems. They can use their precious energy to create and operate community-controlled, truly African-centered educational institutions which ground our children and adults in our tradition and help politicize them for frontline work. In other words, they can become regulators of our communal and national politics. Or they can react, i.e. debate with each other about if there is an enemy or if it isn't, or if the enemy is us. They can inadvertently support those who promote and benefit from cultivating our inertia by continuously arguing about what we need to do to build and educate ourselves while Urugu, with the assistance of the deceivers within us, strengthen their menticide inducing and enforcing hold on our children and adults. In other words, they can become hostages to the social and cultural politics of others or help us get free of this madness. There are no other options. There is no gray area. There is only this choice. Either you're going to do it or you ain't. As I said, the only solution for African people is sovereignty. Affirm, I swear only to live as a free warrior. Affirm, I swear to only live as a free warrior. May 7th. Poor conditioning makes cowards out of all of us. Shaka Zulu. Although of great importance, we know that Shaka Zulu was not speaking of physical health alone. He was also speaking of health of mind, health of character, health of spirit. Certainly what he stated at that the time applies even more so today because our children are being destroyed on the streets, in the bedrooms, in the classrooms, and in the pipeline, the prison pipeline, as well as through their headphones and other forms of media. And the only solution most of us seem to be able to come up with is to debate and argue over some terminology or egotistical weaknesses and insecurities disguised as critical communal social issues. These are no more than debates and arguments designed to see who can walk, who can out talk or talk over who, in order to, as Nana Dr. Amos Wilson would say, salvage ego. Wounded egos. Let us take a moment to get our egos out of the way and ask the honest, penetrating questions. What kind of cowards would have to be in order to have reached the nair where we allow what should be our first priority to become our last, while at the same time saying that we love them and that they are our future? What kind of love is this, and what kind of future are we preparing for our people? What level of menticide, of chronic, dynamic cowardice has to have supplanted our community and our common sense to the degree that we refuse to act on our children's behalf in a constructive, uncompromising, empowering, and permanent way. What blind, mentalcidal ambition would have us believe that we have successfully rationalized that inaction? Affirm, I am exceptionally well conditioned. Affirm, I am exceptionally well conditioned. Man. May 8th. The white man regards the universe as a gigantic machine hurtling through time and space to its final destruction. Individuals in it are but tiny organisms with private lives that lead private deaths. Personal power, success, and fame are the absolute measures of value, the things to live for. This outlook on life divides the universe into a host of individual little entities which cannot help being in concert, which in constant conflict, thereby hastening the approach of the hour of their final destruction. The Youth League of the ANC, the African National Congress. If Urugu's goals, vision, and way are our highest aspirations, then we will never rise above their frigid shadow. And even if our vision is beyond their limitations, as long as we allow them, their minions and our menticide to corrupt and hamper our individual efforts and collective movement, that is how much longer it will take us to arrive home, because they have no intention whatsoever of letting us individually or collectively be human. Affirm, I am not in competitive conflict with my own. Affirm, I am not in competitive conflict with my own. We need each other. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, I saw the documentary on HBO. Oh, okay. I got another piece here. Quilombo Fun Festival is this evening starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, and tomorrow starts at 10 a.m. And Mama Nabantu will be teaching a class on Tower Gardens and all kind of good stuff at Colombo Fest. Colombo is one of the African-centered schools here in Atlanta, located on, well, now it escapes me. I know the street. It'll come to me. Colombo on Columbia Drive. That's right, on Columbia. See, I got it. Yep, Quilombo Fest. They moved. Okay. The school moved. Oh, wow. Okay. And I guess you're going to send me the address. I appreciate that. So you can get this information in real time. Quilombo Fest. Once again, brothers and sisters, May 25th is African Liberation Month. Excuse me, African Liberation Day. May should be, May should just have the whole month of May is African Liberation Day, and the Pan-African Fellows Movement is going to have a tri-state town hall meeting, and one of the topics is what's in a word. And so the festival is online. It's not located there. The festival is online. So, Quilombo. Okay. The documentary on HBO, Exterminate All the Brutes. You must check it out. This is Raul Peck. He did the documentary, I'm Not Your Negro, which was, what you call the piece? Okay, got that. And I'll make this announcement again. Documentary exposing the brutality of European colonization worldwide. And believe me, it's deep. He bounces back and forth. You know, he shows some home movies of his time in Haiti, and you know, he lived in Berlin. That's why he talks the way he does about the European murder and so forth. And so the whole idea of it is to let you know what Europeans have done and continue to do, you know, and they continue to do. I love the ending. I love the ending. So it's a 4 hour, an hour each segment. So it's a 4 hour documentary, and it's on HBO. Check it out. The documentary I've been dealing with, of course, and what we're going to talk about today. I'm not sure if my guest is going to be with us, but I'm prepared. As a, you know, anybody should be somewhat prepared to make things happen, even if other things don't happen. You always must have a way out, you know. Always must have a way out. And we're talking once again about the documentary that I think is a game changer. I think this documentary, if you are a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, this documentary is a must. It's a must watch, because ASCAC was telling this particular story this way. It didn't have these kinds of details. It didn't explain the way this documentary explains how the pyramids were built. It explains how they were built. No, they were not cut stone. No, they were not chiseling out blocks of granite with the tools that they had at the time. It could never conceivably be possible to happen. But yet, I remember saying that to students way back, because that was the information at the time. I always said that we did it, that African people did it, dark-skinned people did it. I referenced Dr. Chikanta Diop. The documentary references Dr. Diop, because Dr. Diop said in 1974 at the symposium in Cairo, I can prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people were African, dark-skinned people, black. Just give me a bit of tissue from the mummies. I have developed a melanin dosage test. I can tell how dark they are. And for 35 years, they wouldn't do it. The Egyptian Museum wouldn't do it. Who finally relented. In fact, I seen a piece the other day on Facebook where this Caucasian was, I can tell based upon how he presented it, he was a little miffed. He was a little miffed that that the mummy did a DNA on him, melanin dosage test on him, and that the mummy was African, dark-skinned African. And you could see, to me, based upon what I was watching, that the Caucasian was a little miffed, because he was under the impression that, there were dark-skinned people building stuff, and they were basically servants, you know, they were basic laborers, but the intelligentsia, the rulership, they were light-skinned, they were mulattoes, or they were, you know, Arab-looking, you know, whatever. No. Has Diop proved, and as I heard Dr. Asa Hilliard say, no. All the dynasties, all the way up to Dynasty 30, were black Africans. It didn't change until the Ptolemies. It didn't change until the takeover of Kemet by Greece. The culture didn't change until the takeover by Islam, by Arabs. Because even under the Greeks, Kemetic culture was maintained. In fact, Cleopatra VII is the most noted Cleopatra. Why she did what she did to Julius Caesar and to Mark Antony and anybody else is because they wanted to maintain the culture that had been established. But of course, that didn't happen. She commits suicide. Mark Antony commits suicide. And Julius Caesar's brother, Octavian, or Augustus Caesar, takes over. And what it is just that he becomes the breadbasket, you know, becoming the breadbasket for the little small strip of land. All that they do and how they do it becomes the breadbasket for the Roman Empire. So we talked on Wednesday how we did it. We poured limestone. We mixed the limestone with the water and the caustic soda, mixed it up, and poured it into molds. They did not lift anything. It was not chiseled. They were poured. White limestone was used for the outer. Brown limestone for the inner. The pyramids are solid, except for the lower chamber, the middle chamber, and the king's chamber. And there's a pathway. There's a pathway on the east in the rising of the sun. And there's a pathway on the west for the stars, Sirius and Alum, to shoot right through so the pharaoh or king's soul can go right out. Into, you know, or the sun can come in and illuminate. I'm telling you, they're perfect. They're perfect. It took 20 years to build the pyramid of Khufu. It took almost 70 years to build all the three pyramids and the small satellite pyramids and the Fastabas, all of those things, the complex itself. 70 years. Perfect. And not one was quarried. Not one was chiseled. Not one was lifted. It was all poured. The granite. Granite rocks. Not big pieces, but granite rocks. Cut them up. And then they would put it into a clay mold and pour the granite into the mold. That's why you see those beautiful statues of comedic men and women. You see the beautiful vases. Plenty. I mean, plenty. All the other temples and tombs, all poured. It wasn't dragged from a quarry. It was poured. My guest here is here today, Brother Akil Parker. Good afternoon. Oh, good morning, Akil. Still morning time. How you doing?
Peace. I'm doing good.
Good. Good. I'm doing well myself, man. Hanging in there. I am hanging in there. So today, we already established how they did it, and we already established who did it. And so we're going to further establish what the documentary established, and that is that we left Africa. And we left our mark around the world. In fact, what is said is that the meter as a form of measurement was our calling card, was our DNA chip, so to speak. Because all those other places we went to, Mexico, Peru, whatever, Mount of Pichu, all these places were built by us. I know there was an issue, brother. I don't know if you remember, Brother Akil, that other indigenous people were upset that we were claiming, just like in Mexico, that we were claiming these things as being African, you know. And the bottom line is, you know, because they're saying, you're mad because white folks are appropriating Egypt, claiming it to be their own, you know, and they've been doing that for hundreds of years, you know, and you're doing the same thing to us, what these folks did to you. You mad about that? Yeah. But the bottom line is it's true. Y'all didn't do this. We did. And we shared with you everywhere we went. We didn't come to take. We didn't come to some undermine or supplant. We came to share. And I think what's interesting in the documentary, if you continue to follow it, it did not It did not share the solar lens. But it eventually had to, because that's how the, quote, Freemasons came very prominent. They poured concrete. Those temples, and so even in Greece, were poured. Even in Rome, were poured. None of these places were carved and chiseled and so forth. It gave that impression, but they were not. They were mixed concrete or limestone, great concrete, and poured hardened bam. Sometimes through a mold, of course. Most time, not all the time, through a mold. You know. So did you get a chance to see some of the stuff in the second half of the documentary, Brother Akil?
Some of it. So the part I was watching the portion of that information on Shaykhan Tejote.
Yes.
And his and then I was getting to the part where they were talking about the travel, which is what you alluded to just now.
Right.
Travel from the continent of Africa across the what we now know as the Atlantic Ocean into the Western Hemisphere. So yeah, I started to look into that actually yesterday.
Good. Yeah, that's where we're at, because, you know, Dr. Ivan von Sertima and my good brother, my good friend, Dr. Renoka Rashidi, who is somebody who von Sertima, he really loved him, and all the other African scholars Renoko was very close to. But von Sertima, he even wrote a thing, I think a foreword or two in one of his books. But their whole thing was that Africans sailed out of Africa into the Mediterranean through the Strait of Gibraltar and then straight to what is now called Cancun, Mexico, where you find these heads. You find these large heads. And I think Renoko, I believe he said about 12 or 13, something like that, of these large stone heads. Even one of the heads have braids. They even have some braids. So you know who that is. You know, some locks. So, you know, we left our mark. We left our mark. And they were built these, you know, great structures, helped build these great structures. And what was interesting, a few places where we left, we started to build and we left, those indigenous people tried to build on them, but they didn't have the technology that we possessed. They didn't have the solar lens, the solar energy to melt granite. They still had the concept, and they apparently didn't have the concept to utilize limestone to pour and to build, you know. Because I often wondered, you know, how did they build on these tops of these mountains? You know what I'm saying? In South America, they built these temples on the tops of mountains. How could they do it? Where did they get it from? You know? So all of these questions, and what the documentary does is help answer to some. Obviously, there's going to be, just like anything else that's presented, there's always going to be skepticism, or there's always going to be a way that you felt was the best way back then, you know, and so it can't be that way, what you're saying, because I felt that was the way back then. You know, to me, one of the most important things that anybody can do, and correct me, Brother Ron, Brother Kale, is that if you were adamant in a particular position, what makes you a better person is that when information comes along that is more so verifiable and more bona fide than the information that you had, then you say, yes, okay, I can see that. I agree. As opposed to being hard-hearted and hard-headed and saying, no, I don't give a damn how rational that is or how logical that is. I'm going to stick with this. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing I was thinking about when you were talking is that, you know, a lot of people, you know, get angry when you start talking about Olmec heads, you know, and
they do. Yeah, because
some people of African descent, they get upset they'll call us hoteps in a disparaging way.
Yeah, I hate that, man. I really do. The hoteppers. You know, I look at hotep as a sacred word, you know. When I use it, I really do mean peace. I mean peace to you. When I say in a greeting, hotep, or something that me and you, once the program is over, all right, Brother Kilparker, hotep. I mean that. So to say that in a derogatory way, that many of these guys have done it, you know, especially as it related to Umar Johnson, the hoteppers, you know, it kind of upset me, man, you know?
Bob, let me step away for 1 second.
Okay. All right. So, you know, the information is there. Once again, and I know some of us say, well, there's some white folks saying that, some Caucasians saying that, Urugu saying that. And I look at it this way. People have the Bible, and we've been trained to believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, that everything in the Bible is literal. It should be taken literally, that it actually happened. It is not, in their minds, it is not myth. It is not allegory. It is not, no, it's a fact. The Bible. And as I've read the Bible, yes, I've read the Bible, you know, I'm not like my brother. My brother is a minister. In fact, I've always felt that he was like a theologian. He knows the Bible front and back. Don't know a history book, because the Bible is not a history book. The Bible is not a history book. Many of the characters that are in the Bible are not historical. And sometimes the Bible is contrary to African, not sometimes, it is contrary to African people's development. And so what we're talking about here is something that is not explained or answered by the Bible. But it is explained and answered by the physical science. The physical science. It is explained and answered by visibly going to these places, seeing it, touching it, trying to understand it, trying to figure out how it was done. This documentary explains it. It explains it. If it is found in other places around the world, one of the things that it pointed out, that there's a copper staple in the stone. The copper staple is not there to support it or to keep it together. It's just a signature. It is found in Kemet. It is found in Ethiopia, which, of course, the Kemites and the Nubians, the Ethiopians, they're all cousins, okay? They all cousins. They ain't different people. See, that's what National Geographic's tried to do, in that the pharaohs from the 25th dynasty, the Nubian dynasty, that somehow they were so much. No, they're the same people. You look at the relief on the wall, a Demedu Netra on the wall of Ramesses the third. There's four men. Two of them are very melanated. One, little bit. The other one, not so much. Who the four men represents? The two melanated men, Kemet and Nubia. They're cousins, Kemet and Nubia. The other one is the Indo-European, and the other one is the Semitic people. The four men. You can go online and get that. Check that out. And so what we're saying is, it's the same people. Now, if that what I just mentioned about the stone in that, because it's found in Mexico, it's found in Ethiopia, it's found in Kemet. If somehow that these Mexicans or a remote place had this knowledge and there was ever no contact, then that's some, you know, that's some stuff like you can come up with some extraterrestrial stuff like that. But it's not, because it is not that. It didn't develop independent over there. It was brought there by us. When the shape of the pyramid of the sun in Mexico is the same shape as the pyramids at the Giza Plateau. In fact, cocaine was found in the mummies in Kemet. Only place cocaine was at is in Mexico. When the Kemetic people, let me finish this, astronomy, the same thing. The calendar that we developed that begins in July 14th, the three seasons, not four. Same thing there. Concrete. Making concrete with water and mixture and so forth, putting it in molds and letting it harden. Math, the same measurements, the meter. Pi, the golden ratio, the constant, all of these things are there. There's a Caucasian named Joseph Davidovits who was with the Geopolymer Institute, and he talks about the geopoly concrete. It's there. All of it is there. I'm going to finish talking about this. Please, you can join this conversation. You have some people in the queue and you know what to do. Hit pound twice. Hit pound twice. Star. I apologize. Hit star twice. Star. Hit star twice and you can join the conversation. Or you can dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, Acres of Diamonds. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9 on Monday, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then also on Monday evening at 9 from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, 8 p.m. from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And Sunday, if it's Sunday and it's 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I love that song. That was my favorite Mother's Day song. I know the intruders, I always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. It's always good. But this didn't get that kind of play. This comes off the Earth, Wind, and Fire Last Days in Time album, which was my favorite album. Earth, Wind, and Fire albums in my life. And those are albums. And that was a long time ago. Yeah, 72, 50 years ago. Man. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah. So hopefully, I don't know if you haven't heard that song in a while. Some people said, I've never heard it. You know, because they really didn't play it. But I was listening before I came on the air to talk show in Milwaukee, and they played it. I was happy to hear that. My good brother, I know who did that too. Good shout out to him. Good brother. Once again, brothers, the series on HBO, Exterminate All the Brutes, a document that exposes the brutality of European colonialism worldwide. And I'm going to talk about that next week. Talk about that next week, European colonialism worldwide. And, brother Akil, you with me? Are you still gone?
I think he's. Yeah.
All right, brother. Did you check out the HBO documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes?
That's on my list too.
That's on your list. Okay. I tell you, you're a beautiful, busy brother. You got that. You got your son, man. You got to deal with. You got your family, your wife, and all these other things, and you still find time. You're a professor at two universities, right?
Well, currently just one. I only taught at Cheney this semester.
Okay.
I didn't do Bell this semester, but the last semester I was at that too.
Right. I remember.
Last year I was also.
Okay. I remember. So, but yeah, man, check it out and let's get some conversation to it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Good. Yeah.
It's been highly recommended.
Yeah.
Not only by you. By a couple other people as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I watched all 4 hours the other day, you know, still watching the Great Pyramid K, you know, and I tell you, Raoul Peck bounces back and forth with it, but he presents it very well, you know, And so a historical, you know, markers of what the Europeans have done and, of course, what they continue to do, you know. So we'll talk about that. But let's finish discussing the Great Pyramid K 2019. And basically now, and we, like I said, we already established that it was us firmly. We already established that the pyramids were not built the way it has been described years before about ramps and tools. And in fact, what is also brought out in the documentary is that when the Greeks came in to Kemet, obviously the pyramids were already old. They were old and probably looking kind of bad because they said there was a cataclysmic event, a big earthquake with tsunamis and all of that, that a lot of the limestone coverings on the pyramids kind of broke away, you know. And I was told, I read that said that a lot of the limestone was used by the Arabs when the Arabs came in to build mosques and places, you know, homes and so forth. Because that's why you see the pyramids being exposed the way they are, because that didn't happen. They had a limestone covering, but they're solid. And the reason why they're solid is because the things were poured one after the other. That's why you can't get a piece of paper in between the lines, because they were poured right next to them. They took the molds off. Bam, there it is. So, but I think the main thing, too, is that what we did after, where we are gone, just like Easter Island. They said that, you know, Easter Island was, they call it Easter Island because the Europeans landed on it, or as they like to say, discovered it. on Easter, you know. You know, in fact, what the documentary Exterminate All Brutes put out is the amount of human beings that were here in North, Central, and South America. The various cultural groups or nations that they call themselves were already here, and how the European came in, and how these native people continue to try to get a treaty, an honest treaty out of these people, which they consistently broke. They weren't worth the piece of paper that they were written on. But more on that later, more on that next week. But it also ties into what we're talking about here, you know, because we came there and we shared with people. We came there and we left our mark on Easter Island. The Moa, there are so many of them. There's a lot. There's one section off the shore where there's like about 14 of them in a row. And what was interesting, once again, I said that we left our mark. Do you remember how they established the measurements?
Brother, say that one more time.
Do you remember how they established the measurements? What did they do? Because they were trying to figure out, trying to measure stuff, and you know they you know, like they used the Pharaoh's foot, you know. But and that Pharaoh would be glad that you used his foot. But the next Pharaoh came in. Well, shit, why they can't use my feet, you know, or my arm or my leg? So they tried to come up with what's the best way to measure something. Well, of course, it was water. A drop of water is the same regardless. It's eternal. It's constant. So they used a drop of water to develop the measurements, the centimeter, and ultimately 10 of them, the meter. And it was the meter that they took around the world. Like I said, that was their calling card. And so when you look at the Easter Island, those Moa, they're standing in a row, like about 14. That is exactly 100 meters. Exactly 100 meters. And there's a walkway in front of them, which is 220 meters. Now, once again, Brother Akil, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if you have some rationale, then how could other places come up with this technology, come up with these ideas on their own?
I mean, it seems possible, but not probable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, discovering ideas within nature, like that's one of the things that, you know, like I remember Kwame Ture talking about, you know, the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
Or Newton's laws, the so-called Newton's laws of physics. Those are ideas that, you know, human beings will discover and will, you know, consider just in their normal existence. But when you talk about numerical measurements and, I guess, standards that are implied for, you know, certain measurements, I don't know how likely that is. That almost seems like it would be too coincidental,
mm-hmm,
for that to happen in different parts of the world, because it's arbitrary. That's the thing, it's arbitrary. So if you say, like, I'm going to take the size of a pharaoh's foot, and I could be wrong, but, you know, it seems too arbitrary for it to be that coincidental,
right?
For, you know, different people in different parts of the world to just independently of each other, you choose to use the same exact amount,
right? And so, and if that would be logical, or because it's illogical, then that would kind of lend to a divine intervention. That would lend into some alien premonition or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the case. That didn't happen. And so therefore, somebody way over, 3,000-4,000 miles across a great body of water, having the same thinking and rationality that and come to the same conclusion and then develop something that deals on the other side is, to me, preposterous. It's just not happening. So it says that we developed this knowledge and we took this knowledge around the world, literally around the world, because in Australia, what is now called Australia, in God's fourth Australia, there's a glyph. There's some Medu nature that mentions. There's some Medu. I don't know if you got to that part yet. I may not. But there's some Medu nature that mentions Seneferu, which is the father of Khufu and Khafre. They mention them in the glyphs. And this Caucasian dude who reads Medu Nesher put them together. That's, come on. This is beyond, this ain't spooky. This is factual. This is historical. This is physical. This happened. You know? And yeah. But I know.
Well, definitely somebody from, I will say also, a lot of things I want to study more, having been motivated by, you know, seeing this particular documentary. But Khufu was definitely a person that I want to learn more about.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I want to look into the work of some, scholars that have, like, studied the Medu Nature and studied ancient Kemet to learn more about Khufu. One of the things it's on my list as well, is to develop an intimate understanding of all of the dynasties, and all of the pharaohs.
Right. Because out of the 30 dynasties, and of course the dynasty ends at 30 because of the Ptolemies, the Greeks, Alexander, the so-called great, and what's interesting about that is that the technology that we have in Kemet was utilized in Greece. That's how they poured the Parthenon is in chiseled out. That's how they have those columns that were attributed to Greece, or attributed to Rome. But they were African. You see those colonnades and those columns in the temples. I've been there. I've physically seen them, touched them. Huge. Much bigger than the Parthenon or stuff that is in Greek and Rome, I got to say that, we did it. And to me, what needs to be done is that, as I said, when I first saw this documentary, then viewed it in its totality. And I've done that a couple of times, about three times already. And I'll do it some more because I keep learning things, In fact, the only thing that I really fast forward is when these two Caucasians are crossing the Atlantic, because they talk about, us crossing the Atlantic. And I remember a long time ago in the 70s, a Caucasian named Thor Heyerdahl. He crossed. He built a boat made of reeds, just like the ancient Kemetic people built a boat made of reeds, showing that it is seaworthy enough to do it, And he did it because those currents sweep you westerly. And so what they had discovered, and as it shows in the video, that when they were bidding these other brothers adieu, they were, as the video states, they were on their way to Libya for wood. And the boats disappeared. And I know they said, well, we can see further than just the horizon. So apparently the earth is round. That they can't get lost, they will come right back to where they started. And that was proven that it could be done. And so we knew this thousands of years You know, all of these things that we knew that later Europeans said they discovered or had knowledge. No, that's not the case. They did not have this information until we brought this information to them. And that has always been us. We bring knowledge. We don't come to undermine or supplant. But one of the things that we didn't tell, because what the documentary also points out, is that there's always been wars over energy. We did not let everybody know about how we developed the solar lens, because the solar disc or the solar lens is how they were able to do a lot of the serious architectural work, particularly dealing with granite and other hard stone substances. They could melt them and put them into a clay mold. There's one place, I think, in Southeast Asia where it's, gosh, I can't remember. I should have wrote it down. But how they built it, they made a huge clay mold and they poured granite on top of it. So it's a mound, but inside of it, because once they hardened, they took away the clay mold and bam, inside of it, you could see the granite and it's perfectly shaped. You know, I tell you, man, we're some bad mothers, ain't we, man? We are bad. You know?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So again, let me add this to the list also. Things I want to study more about as I was listening, solar power. The solar power and how it was solar energy and how it was harnessed and utilized back then. And, you know, just thinking about that in terms of motivating our youth to go into the STEM disciplines.
Yes.
But went into it with a long-term goal of independent nation building.
Yes.
And African nationalism, as opposed to just, you know, us trying to take advantage of just trying to, because usually what typically happens is we see what opportunities are available to us that other groups of people are in control of and that are, you know, managing. And then we say, okay, well, it would be wise and, you know, intelligent to try to, you know, hop on that, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's like solar panel installation, especially in the vocational and industrial trade.
Right.
That we definitely need to look more into, especially for nation building. But it's, you know, it's different when you say, okay, well, I want to just learn about solar power and solar energy for the purpose of maybe saving on my own energy bill for my own house, mm-hmm. have the company pay me every month.
Right.
That energy I'm gaining, or working for another company owned by, you know, another group of people, you know, just so I can have a job, you know, versus saying like, you know, well, I want to learn. I mean, you could do those things, but, you know, but then also have the long-term long goal of saying, okay, well, I want for our people to know about this and be aware of this. And then I can in turn develop other people to be able to learn about this as well. And, you know, so we can really get free. So mm-hmm. we can, like, you know, because we got to have energy, you know, and the sun comes up every day.
That's
so
right.
That's it. A more efficient way to, you know, we could have automobiles that are powered by solar power.
Yes.
At some point, or hydroelectric power.
Yes.
Or whatever.
That's the thing was, Jimmy Carter, when he was president, he had solar panels on the White House. And Ronald Reagan took over, one of the first things he did was to get rid of the solar panels on the White House. Ronald Reagan, just like Donald Trump, was big into oil and his buddies in the oil industry. They did not want solar and wind because that would truly decimate the big profits and so forth of the oil industry. And so, and the amount of oil in other countries around the world, particularly like Saudi Arabia, you know. We got a caller here. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good afternoon, and good afternoon, Brother Parker. You know, Brother Oshie, what you said here was so correct, because they didn't know nothing about navigating the seas. They didn't know anything because Christopher Columbus sailed in the 14th century, and those Egyptians possessed that information thousands of years before that.
Yes.
So
if they said, oh, the European knew, then he would have sailed before that. He wouldn't wait until the 14th century to leave out of Europe. You know, so that show you right there that they lying. They're liars.
Yes, they are liars. You know, you're right.
Right there, because these people were navigating the seas, reducing the stars to calculus, did all this science. But the Europeans said, yeah, it was me. So if it was you, why the hell didn't you sail out of Europe before the 14th century? See? They, and then these Arabs now, see, they come now claiming our thing too. Saying, oh, yes, this is our store. You know, claiming Ramesses and Hatshepsut. When that those people weren't even in Egypt at the time, you know, when our ancestors lived. So everybody come claiming our thing, but don't want to be a part of us.
Right.
They claim our legacy, but don't want to be a part of you. Don't want to be a part of black people. No. See?
And not only that, Brother Marcus, they want to claim that they did it and that we did nothing.
Exactly.
You know, that we were running around the jungle, you know, with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having done anything. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, when I look at history and I see, they say, oh, yeah, they went to Africa and they grabbed. These weren't unskilled people they kidnapped and captured from Africa. These were skilled people they bought here. These were skilled Africans they took from Africa and bought here, farmers, you know, all the tools, carpenters. These people had skills. Because if you study again, you see in Europe, from 500 AD to 1500 AD, they were going to what? The Dark Ages. They were going to all kind of... So they didn't have no skilled people there up in Europe. They came to Africa, kidnapped us, brought us here to build an empire. You know, so sometimes I ask myself, what the hell did we, did these people discover or invent? They ain't invent nothing. They're just thief and liars. You know, and my parents used to tell me, say, every liar is a thief.
That's right. You know,
is them.
Yeah.
That is them. But I saw that documentary you're talking about halfway through, and it was amazing the way these people did it. It makes sense. It really makes sense when you really thought about it. You know?
Yeah.
Them stones are heavy.
Yes.
So
we're talking about, hey, listen. 1 ton is 2,000 pounds. When you're talking about 10 tons, some of those stones are just so huge, it's beyond, you know, it might be 20 tons, which is 40,000 pounds.
Exactly.
40,000 pounds. That's
weird.
Yeah. No, we couldn't have lifted that. But see, what they did is that when the Greeks came into Kemet, and they studied in Kemet for almost 20 years. Archimedes, Plato, Aristotle, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when Alexander the so-called Great came in and conquered it, then they went into the libraries and claimed stuff and put it in their name. Yeah. They're the fathers of this. They're the fathers of that. You know, they're none but your, exactly, Brother Marcus. They're thieves. They're misappropriators.
They said Homer is the father.
You know. So no, none of that is true. You know? And so what they did is they copied what we had.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 400 BC. So what was happening before that? Nothing. You know? Thieves, liars. Robbers, and that's a part of their DNA, brother. Mm-hmm. That ain't born nowhere. That's them. Anyway, keep on keeping on.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Appreciate you, man. Have a good weekend. Peace.
You too, brother.
All right, brother. Brother Kill, you with me, man?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah. See, I like your idea about doing that. That needs to be studied and brought to our people in a different way. You know, now that I know this information, I feel even more proud and more, you know, encouraged by what we have done. You know, I knew that when I made reference to Ronald Reagan taking the solar panels down, that it was the way. Because around that same time, I read that article about climate change, or then they called it global warming, and what a situation would be if it's unchecked. And at that time, this is the 80s, 70s, or late 70s or 80s, you know, which of course is 40 years ago now, you know. And they said if these things weren't done within 10 to 20 years, you're going to see some serious, you know, cataclysmic things happen. And see, and so what many people thought, because they called it global warming, and it is proven that the earth is warmer, but they thought that, well, you won't have snow, you know, you won't have this and that. They didn't understand that what they were saying is that you're going to have extreme weather conditions, extreme weather patterns. And we've been exhibiting that for the last 10 or so years, if not longer. Lasting some of the extreme conditions lasting longer. It's not just a day or two. Oh, okay, that's one of the hottest days on record. Oh, this is one of the coldest days on record. No, this is the coldest week, the coldest month, the hottest month. You know, that's what's happening. And so, you know, there's a serious need for us to quickly transition from fossil fuels to heat homes, to our cars, to all these things, to solar energy, to wind energy. Yes. See, those things are part of nature. So, you know, they want to try their best to put something in it so they can make as much money as they can. It's all about money, you know. Because Reagan and his guys, in fact, I always say Ronald Reagan to me was the worst president, because he's the one, along with Margaret Thatcher of the UK, caused this economic disparity that you see in the world today. Such deep divisions. It is so damn bad that the amount of money between those who have and those who have not, it would take two for us as African people. If there was going to be some kind of economic parity or whatever, it would take over 230 years with the Caucasians' finances being frozen to where they are and us being done incrementally over a period of time, 230 years before there was an economic parity. So that's ridiculous. Don't even go there. That's why I'm saying we should not be fighting to be a part of this madness, because there will never be justice. There will never be equality. There will never be fair. There will never be none of those things. Now, I know, and you know, that some brother or sister will have a nice existence. They can live in beautiful homes and have a nice job working with Caucasians and so forth. And of course, in their mind, you know, everything is good, because everything to them is good, because you're taught to think individually. One of the things also, too, that documentary points out is how collectively we are as a people, how we come together to make things happen together. When you look at those pyramids, you look at all the things we did to the perfection that it was done, lets you know that there weren't people who were mad about their positions. There weren't people who were trying to sabotage something or trying to, no. These were brothers, and mostly brothers, who understood that we are being commissioned to do this project, and we're going to do it, ever how long it may take. Because they're not working all year round. That's why it took 20 years to build the Great Pyramid, because you know, in their calendar, it's not a four seasons calendar, it's a three seasons calendar. Of the inundating, then the recession, to do the planting, and then the harvest. And it's during the inundation, during the flooding, is when they did the temples and tombs. I mean, you remember that part right there where they waited in the morning when the Sirius star came up, and then when the sun came up, the Nile flooded and it rushed the waters to that site, and how they were able to get the water up and over into the bottom chamber. It's extraordinary. It really is.
I remember thinking about all the mathematical calculations that they needed to do in order to, you know, foresee that and the plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I asked you, because I know you're a mathematician, man. You teach math, and that's the main thing that this thing talked about was pi, the golden ratio, the constants of the 52.36, you know, all these things, pi, 3.14. I'm like, wow, I thought this stuff was created by Greeks. I mean, I knew better than that, you know. But, you know, they always make it believe that as Africans, that's why they keep saying that society was so advanced, it could not have been us. They rather believe that it was aliens that did it than us. Because in their mind, in their evil, demented ass mind, that somebody dark skinned, somebody African couldn't possibly be more intelligent than me or us, you know. So, yeah. The meter. Yep. Because they use the water. They measure. We're going to try to weigh the measure. And they, a drop of water is a drop of water that was constant, no matter, you know, if it, and they put it on something hard, and they show that it was just bam, right there. So they used the drops of water, and that's how they did the measurements. That's how they did the clock, if you remember. That's how they could tell time. I thought about an hourglass. But what they had was a water, you know, little hole at the bottom, and it measured. And I tell you, you know, those brothers and sisters were inspired. They were inspired. No, they didn't have until Akhenaten came along, a one God concept. But what they had was a theology and a concept of God, understanding that God needs to inspire, God needs to encourage, for God to be able to do to make us do the things that we should do to help people, to help our society, to help our culture, and so forth. See, and unfortunately, the religions that have been imposed upon us, they don't do that. They don't do that. And yet, we spend a whole lot of money. You know, we spend a whole lot of money in these theologies. Christianity, the prosperity gospel, you know, making sure that the pastor is taken care of. And that's all over, brother. That's all over. What the church did. Yeah. So when you get a chance to check out that last part, Brother Kiel and brother and sisters who are listening, you know, you'll find out about how, you know, the formation of the Masons and who they are, you know, and how continuously, because of what we have done, you know, they're able to build cathedrals and buildings all around the world because of what we established early on in human history. But yet, as the documentary also says, and what do we get for it? We were enslaved. We were ridiculed, debased, demeaned, degraded, imprisoned, eliminated, exterminated. And this is because of what we had done. They tried to erase our face. That's why all that nose and lip damage that you see on many of the statues, And once again, a lot of those statues, particularly from ancient Kemet, were not, they were not chiseled. They were poured. They used the solar lens to melt the materials that they were going to use, you know, in that mold, in that clay mold. Once they poured it, they cooled, they take it away, and bam, there it is. Polish it up, pow. It's, you know, I hope too, Brother Akil, that you continue to watch it and it inspires you, because it has me, you know, although I don't have the skills that you have, but it's hard to comprehend, but I'm, you know, I have a good cursory knowledge, you know?
Yeah. There are a lot of math lessons.
It is.
A lot of math lessons.
It really is.
I was just thinking about, you know, while I was listening to it and watching it at different points, I was listening to it at different points. I was watching and listening, but a lot of math, a lot of content.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
A lot of ways we can make mathematics more relevant to young people and to the adults. Cause you know, we need to engage the parents of the young people
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, exposing them to, the history and the mathematical accomplishments as well. Because when we're, you know, those of us that are in the community trying to, you know, do this type of work, provide this type of education, when the children go home to their parents, it needs to be continued. And so we have to teach them too. So we got to teach the whole family, you mm-hmm. know, which is fine, you know, which is cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Listening to them talk about the divine triangle of Isis, three, four, five, I should say, or set.
Right.
He used the Greek name for
right, they do.
Yeah.
Just like even though they acknowledge that Kemet or the letter K, Great Pyramid K, 2019, K means Kemet, and Kemet does not mean the black land. Kemet means the black people, you know, the land of the blacks. Not the black man, the land of the blacks, which was us. And they clearly in state and show that you could not have worked at the time in that kind of heat, in 114 degrees, 115 degree heat, without having be deeply melanated. That's why they said, no, this society was not multi-ethnic and mulattoes and octoroons, quadroons, all that bull. You know, Arabs, no, none of that. It was Africans, dark-skinned Africans. And it wasn't like they wanted to make you believe, just like I said, I don't know if you heard me, I was watching YouTube and they talked about some person that they found in antiquity. And they did a melanin dosage test on him. And he came back that he was dark-skinned. And it seemed like the Caucasian a little upset, because the perception has always been that the lighter-skinned people are in rulership. And dark-skinned people are in servitude. You know. So that was not the case. That was not the case in ancient Kemet. In fact, for thousands of years, you didn't rule because you were light or dark. You ruled because you were just and righteous. You know? And even during the reign of the Greeks and the Romans, you know, there were African people within that, because they recognized. I think what really began to shape, I think that the Caucasian evolutionary process of coming out of that dark age, the medieval, coming out of the ice age, when they got trapped up in that ice age and they mutated. No longer did they have the dark skin. No longer did they have a tall frame. No longer did they have close curled hair, broad nose, and thick lips. They had a stocky body, hair all over it. They definitely had to have hair to cover the back of their neck, because that's where the blood comes from, the heart, past, you know, up into the brain, when you need that blood in the brain for you to function, you know? Your nose became thin to warm the cold air before it got in your lungs. Your lips became thin like a monkey. I always say, we look up, no, them mothers look like a monkey. They had those thin lips. Even today, you see a lot of Caucasians, he ain't got no damn lips. Because to hold in the heat. So in an environment that was harsh, that was unyielding, that was very short in terms of sunlight, very short in terms of season. You had these wild animals out there. So that's why the woman, she acquiesced to his, to the male dominance. And that's why European society has always been very male dominating, very hardcore patriarchal. And women, you know, were relegated and dismissed because she couldn't go out there in that darkness and fend for herself. It's cold out there. There's animals out there. There's scarcity of food. So that's the origin of them. And that's my contention of why they behave the way they do. Why they're selfish, greedy, don't want to share. Because of their evolutionary development. And it happened that way when the Greeks came into Kemet. They had to take it. They had to possess it. Then later the Romans and so forth. They had to take all of Africa at the Berlin Conference of 1885. They had to take it. They had to subjugate Africans. They had to take their land because of how they are. And I maintain we can never change that, Brother Akil. We cannot. There is no morality to a people who are amoral. We cannot appeal to them. You watch this documentary, and I've watched it a number of times. The Caucasian, he's Armenian, who lives in France. And I know by watching it, sometimes it's hard to understand him. But at times, he's very well understood in terms of what he's saying. Would you agree? Did I lose you, Brother Akil? Brother Akil?
I'm sorry, I had to step away for a second.
Okay. No, I was saying that the Caucasian who did the documentary, he's Armenian, but who has lived in France, I guess, all pretty much his life. And sometimes he's kind of hard to understand. But there are sometimes that he is very well understood about what he's saying and what he is showing. He's very well understood. He's clear, you know. He's clear. And so I'm saying it that way because Europeans would love to present some ambiguity, love to present some contrary or some alternatives, you know, or some other explanations, whatever, you know, because a lot of times their whole thing, particularly as it relates to us, is to sow the seeds of discord and doubt, you know. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I need to step away for a second.
All right, my brother. All right, I hear you. Okay. Yeah, I know my brother has got his kids and so forth, but I appreciate whatever amount of time that Brother Akil Parker gives to us when we have these discussions of great African men and women, events and so forth. And the reason why I've asked him to be a part of this discussion is because I know he's a math teacher. And of course, when I first started to see this documentary, it was, you know, I'm not good at mathematics. And I realized, but I had to go off into it. I had to understand what they're saying, because just looking at over this time, to me, it is the game changer. If it would be presented in a way, particularly, I don't give a damn about Caucasians. If they want to see it and they recognize the truth of it, fine. But for us, we need to see it. We need to see what we have done. And we need to see the fact that we went around the world sharing and giving and bringing, establishing. Because when we went around the world and we made a temple or some or other things that we have done, that brought civilization to that area. That brought people. That became a town, a city. So, once again, brothers and sisters, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. Next week, like I said, we're going to talk about the HBO series, either Wednesday or Friday. Exterminate All the Brutes of the Europeans' Colonization. His colonialism that was worldwide. Here you have a small percentage of people who dominate the damn planet. Who dominate the planet. And I don't know about you. Some argue, well, if they have the ability to do so, they should do so. To me, that's evil. To have one group to run roughshod, not dominate the planet through righteous means, good means, but dominate the planet through manipulation, underhandedness, undermindedness, sabotage. Oh, I could go through a whole litany of words. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. What the documentary shows is that we went around the world and we shared knowledge. No, we didn't share the knowledge of the solar disk. That's why you didn't, the solar lens. That's why you didn't know about it. Yes, the ancient Kemetic people told Herodotus, the historian Herodotus. They told him, yes, we built this by levers and scaffolding and cranes and so forth, lifting them up. No, that couldn't have happened. That could not have happened the way they talked about. Yes, I know we've seen movies. We've seen pictures. We've seen ideas of various types of ramps that could and should have been used. One I watched the other day, because I watched a number of things of how pyramids were built after watching this and to see what they're saying. And prior to that, as I said to you, way back in the early 70s, I didn't read the whole damn book, but I read enough of Chariots of the Gods to know what they were saying, that aliens built the pyramids. That these things were humanly impossible. But now that they know they're not, because of how it was done. Because they have broken into the pyramid and you see that little roof in there to the opening of the king's chamber, you see it. And so you consider, how was that done? How did they chisel out that granite? And then how is the king's chamber itself, all those walls of granite, the rectangle? How was his sarcophagus? Nothing but hard granite with a top. How? How did they do that? Now we know. They had solar energy. Why are there still palm trees? Because now we know that they didn't use all the wood. Because if they did, there would be nothing hastening the desert. They didn't, because they had solar energy. Solar energy in their homes to cook their food. Solar energy. Brothers and sisters, it's that time. I appreciate it. Appreciate my good brother, Akil Parker. Appreciate you for listening. Brother Marcus, who called in. I mean, a lot of people called in, but didn't want to go online. I mean, to go on the air, rather. Didn't want to go on the air, and I understand. It's cool. You can always call in to listen, or listen via the internet. You can always go to the archives at babaoshi.net. 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 And listen to previous recorded programs. You can always do that. I thank you, brothers and sisters. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. If your mom is living, do something special for your mom. You know, I gave both my grandsons some money. Do something special for their mothers, because believe me, their mothers have done special for them. You have a good weekend. Shimhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful weekend. See you on Monday. Peace.